So welcome everybody to this week's edition of the Retail Risk Podcast, sponsored by Sensormatic. I am thrilled and delighted to welcome my guest for this week, Steve Teatham from Next. Next is obviously a UK-based retailer, but increasingly with an international footprint. So Steve, thank you very much for joining us this week.
Yeah, thanks, Paul. Thanks for having me.
Delight. Now, Steve, before we get into a few questions I want to throw at you, perhaps you could just give our listeners an overview of your sort of current responsibilities, maybe just touch on what Next do for our international audience, if anybody doesn't know the brand, and then we'll dive into a few bits I want to throw across to you.
Yeah, no problem, Paul. So my name's Steve Teatham, Group Head of Loss Prevention here at Next. Next are a apparel and homeware retailer. We currently have around 500 stores in the UK and around 200 international stores, concession stores. We have our own distribution sort of like business. So when I say I'm group head of loss prevention, a lot of people don't realize that Next is actually a combination of different businesses that operates under the Next banner. So certainly within our warehousing and logistics division, we have 15 sites across the UK. Our online operation sits within that division as well. Our online presence, certainly over the last 12 months, has been an absolute godsend, given, you know, what's happened to the high street in terms of bricks and mortar. So, online, offline, you know, bricks and mortar. We've made some acquisitions as well recently over the last 12 months, which have helped strengthen the portfolio. So as a business, we're growing, which is quite unusual for retailers in this current climate.
Yeah, and anybody that knows Next, I mean, you really are a bit of a sort of poster boy, if you like, for retail success. So congratulations on that. Now, in terms of your involvement, I know you've been sort of in the retail space for 20 odd years or so. Has that always been in a risk capacity, or is that something that's come about more recently?
No, so really from 1996, which is when I first entered the world of what was then security and audit. The LP kind of label had not quite, I think, materialized in the UK at that time. So it was very much a security and audit. I actually started my career in retail and had aspirations to be a store manager when I first joined a business I worked with in 1993. But I joined quite a young business at the time. And when I joined that business, they only had 14 stores. Over the following few years, that business grew to over 100 shops. And it got to a point where it was like, we need somebody looking after us here. You know, there's got to be some element that checks the cash and checks the stock and just make sure that, you know, we're not losing money. And I was approached, actually, and it said, hey, we've got this role, do you fancy it? And I had an eye for shop theft and internal theft anyway. I'd dealt with quite a bit in that operational sort of like roles that I had when I first entered the retail market space. So actually for me, it was quite exciting to catch more bad guys. You know, it was something that I had a bit of a flair and passion for. So since 1996, I've kind of been in the risk arena. At senior levels, maybe in the early noughties, I got my first senior role and I've kind of been leading loss prevention functions for various different retailers over the last 20 years.
Well, I'm pleased to hear that eye for theft was more in stopping it opposed to putting it to a different career path. So
absolutely. It could have gone one or two ways, I suppose, but it went the right way.
Yeah, there you go. Yes. Now, group role, clearly, you know, very successful multi-channel, omni-channel retailer. Just give our audience a flavour of what your day-to-day looks like. What teams have you got? What do you manage? What generally sort of interrupts your day and takes the time?
Yeah, I have four direct reports. They're all heads of departments that report into me. So taking the bricks and mortar, I have a retail head of loss prevention that looks after the retail side of the business. And when I say retail, it is Next in its bricks and mortar capacity, but it also encompasses Victoria's Secrets, which we've recently entered into a joint venture with. So their 26 standalone stores are also included in that as well. And really anything else that falls under that bricks and mortar, we're currently rolling out Laura Ashley stores at the moment, you know, shops within our shops. So, you know, they kind of look after all that now. Retail's been kind of locked down and it's been on and off over the last 12 months. But that's kept us really busy, actually, because the types of risks that we've experienced in that bricks and mortar capacity have kind of changed with what we've seen in the lockdown in general. So, you know, usually I talk to my head about what's going on in the estate, any problems, any issues, any risks that we've had. Under normal trading conditions, we obviously look at the internal element. And I know that's still a taboo subject with a lot of businesses out there. But listen, you know, people do steal from their employer. So part of that retail strategy is around the external elements, but it's also around the internal elements too. So, you know, generally have chats with my guy, Stuart, around what's going on, what are we up to, what's happening next, where's the risk, what do we need to do to mitigate that risk. So that keeps me busy. But on the flip side, you know, my head of loss prevention for warehouse and distribution, you know, that looks after the physical stock for our online business as well. And we've seen brilliant growth in our online operation over the last few years, really, but it's really accelerated over the last 12 months. And again, lots of risks associated with, you know, keeping the stock secure, but then you've got the whole supply chain piece. We also, you know, do a lot of work with our courier partners, because we see issues with them. So, you know, a lot of conversations around, you know, we're changing this. What are the risks involved in doing something different? And then kind of links in nicely with my online function as well. So Andy Wainwright, who looks after my head of online at LP, you know, I mean, that is constantly evolving. The risks are constantly changing. You know, the successes we had 2 years ago in terms of what we were seeing and what we're dealing with have changed, and we're dealing with much more complex, sort of like organized criminality now than we ever have been. And the offering changes, the types of products are always changing, and the values changing, and we're constantly seeing more and more involvement for my team in the online space as well. And then the fourth report is security solutions and corporate security. So, you know, AD Sherry, who kind of looks after that for me, is always out there in the marketplace. What's next? What's the next big thing? What can we do to bring into next to help support the risk that we identify? So really, on a day-to-day basis, it's how's each group function operating? What are we seeing? What are the risks? And then what are we doing ultimately to mitigate those risks?
Yeah, and I guess
a long way of explaining what I do, but hey, that's what we do. We're mitigating risk on a daily basis.
Yeah, and I guess, you know, having those functions in place and trying to at least keep up with an occasion, getting ahead of the risk trends is, you know, is the key to being successful. And as Next, as a brand, gets stronger and stronger, I guess, you know, you come onto the radar of more and more bad guys and girls as well, as being an attractive proposition to make an attack on. Now, one area I particularly want to focus on with you, if I may, Steve, is the sort of the warehousing and DC side of Next. A lot of retailers openly saying it's been challenging for them, particularly with the growth. Is there maybe a few sort of key lessons or nuggets or bits of technology that have been transformational that you've put into that side of the business to A, cope with the growth, but also, you know, really keep a handle on good old fashioned, you know, shrink and losses?
Yeah, there has. I mean, I think back to, you know, when I joined the business in 2017, there was a real appetite from the director, the logistics director, to really freshen loss prevention up. He was a little frustrated about how uninvolved we were in a lot of areas of his operation. So given my background and where I've operated in other businesses, you know, it was sort of like, yeah, okay, let's take a look and let's see where the risk is. And, you know, we talk about, you know, the loss buckets. You know, you've got internal risk, you've got external risk, you've got the process risk, that's all associated with loss. But it was really sort of like easy for me to quickly identify that actually the internal risk was a bit of a problem for Next. You know, it had checks and balances and controls in place, but they weren't effective. And when you looked at the product mix that we sold, you know, we had brands like Giorgio Armani, Hugo Boss, Calvin Klein. You know, the business was suffering quite a large amount of loss on those year in, year out. So, you know, for me, you know, the first thing I needed to do was to fix that internal loss problem, because it was a problem and we knew it was a problem. So, you know, the introduction of technology like people screening technology, which I think through Vision and you know, others do offer, was a natural choice for us, because we understood from the intelligence that we were receiving that these things were being concealed on a person, but in intimate areas, that made it extremely difficult, certainly in UK law, to tackle and deal with. So, we introduced technology initially into our online operation, and then over the last few years, we've been rolling this technology out to most of our sites, and the results have been absolutely astounding. I don't think anybody should underestimate the impact of internal losses, particularly within that warehousing and distribution environment. It's amazing some of the ways that people have developed, the tactics that people have developed to foil traditional security exit stroke entry checks and balances that you have in place. It saved millions. It saved the business millions in terms of loss over the last few years.
Yeah, and I guess, you know, I've alluded to this before, but, you know, in my days in retail, you know, I was taught by experienced and senior members of staff how to manipulate things to make your in-store stock figure look better, or as an area manager, how to get your, you know, shrink figures to look good. And, you know, even the checks and balances were one area manager checking on another, and everybody was doing the same process anyway. And actually, even the retail ops director was an ex-area manager, so he knew where not to look to upset the apple cart. So I think you're absolutely right. It's not until you install that technology and the department and somebody like yourself shines a light on it, then it starts to go away. So I think I've heard you say before, I mean, you know, Next has got some amazing, you know, employees that do a brilliant job, but, you know, do you think that internal had become, you know, the biggest loss across the business? Was it maybe not the focus for a period of time?
I would say yes to that question. I think, you know, as a business, we don't like to face into the fact that somebody could be acting dishonestly. And certainly here at Next, you know, we have a family ethos, and you know, the fact that Steve Teaton rocks up a few years ago and said, actually, you've got people stealing from you, there was a little bit of, really, are you sure? Is it not process? Is it not that we've got suppliers, or we're not charging stores properly, or whatever? And it's like, no, guys, you've got a problem and we need to face into it. And I think, you know, like anything, you know, there's an acceptance you've got a problem in order to be able to deal with that problem. And I think, you know, certainly at Next, I'm not saying that we're guilty of complacency, but I think that we're guilty of not recognizing the impact of that internal problem that it had. And I'm pleased to say that things are not as bad as they were before, but we're still seeing people trying it on, taking a chance, trying to make a few quid. And we are still seeing that kind of activity. But the technology we installed wasn't to catch people initially. It was to deter them from doing it in the first instance. And that deterrent factor, I think, is prevalent, and it's still there and it's still effective. But we do still catch one or two people trying it on, which is unfortunate. But that's just the way things go, I suppose.
Yeah, just encourage people to make better choices with the technology.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So, you know, you've alluded that, you know, technology was a key driver in making changes. Is there any other, I mean, I was keen, you know, your sort of go-to bits of technology? Next is famous also for developing, you know, its own standalone solution, so not an off-the-shelf vendor. But yeah. Is there, either you or any of the four heads, is that, what's their sort of go-to? Is it an analytics tool? Is it, you know, the through vision? Is it, you know, where do you go for your biggest results from a tech perspective?
Yeah, to be honest, we have an eclectic mix, really, of approaches. Each area has its own challenges. And certainly in the online space, if you like, you know, that virtual space, you know, data is really, really important. And, you know, we're always working hard to improve the quality of the information and the data that's available to me and my teams to be able to identify, you know, those prolific offenders who are committing the act of fraud against Next. And, you know, if you take the bricks and mortar, you know, the stores we're currently working on looking at behavioral analytics within our CCTV systems. You know, there's a international supply, and we're working with a UK-based vendor to trial to see how that behavioral analytics works. Mm. You know, and ultimately what I mean by that is the system can detect somebody stealing an item that's on the shop floor. So it doesn't need, team of loss prevention officers to keep an eye on or relying on the staff to be aware of who's doing what where. The system can actually identify this and then give you a prompt to say, hey, something's not quite right. Take a look at it in more detail. And I think for me, in the bricks and mortar space, I am concerned about what's happening here in the UK, because the apparel sector has been decimated over the last 12 months, and there will be risk displacement. So, you know, the risk that Arcadia had, the risk that Debenhams had, well, that risk isn't going to disappear just because those businesses have disappeared. Mm-hmm. You know, it will find its way somewhere else. And I'm conscious that I don't want it to find its way into next. So, you know, certainly from an external perspective, we are looking at how we can use technology to mitigate that risk as best we can.
Yeah, it's a great point, because, you know, those brands that you mentioned, you know, they're under the ASOS or the Boohoo banner, but they're purely online, aren't they? So that old school theft to order, if you like, and to your point, Next increasingly stocking, you know, other apparel brands, you know, become more and more of a target, if you like, for those people that are out stealing. So you're looking at that, technology from a CCTV perspective. Anything else you can share with us that you're rolling out across any part of the business, from be it a process perspective or a tech perspective, that's maybe gone through a trial that's coming online, or,
you know? Yeah, so we're actually looking at introducing a number of tagging solutions. Here at Next, we are moving towards RFID technology. I think 60% of our product range currently has an RFID-enabled tag associated to it. And it's fixing the other 40%, because what we've kind of seen is you fix a certain product category, you get the PI accurate, you get the data, you understand a lot more about what's going on in that area, fix it, but then you kind of see it kind of shuffle on to something that isn't. So the plan really for us over the next few years is to really face into that remaining 40% and make sure that not only is there a security solution attached to those products, but also there's the RFID element too. Because I think getting that data, again, is very important. In food retailing, they've been all over accurate PI for years. In an apparel, it's something that, you know, they're quite late to the party with, but we are getting there slowly but surely. And really that adjustment data and the information that the RFID technology can provide really helps me make better decisions about where I spend the business of money, put my team's focus, efforts and energies into. So really the tagging thing is something that we're working on in a big way, particularly in bricks and mortar at the moment.
And is that tagging going to provide inventory accuracy? Is it going to feed through to the buyers so they can see that real-time stock level, the security element? Is it intended to do
that? That's the plan. So a combined security label as well as having the RFID element embedded within that label as well. Yeah.
So that's a project that's been signed off at sort of board level to provide benefit to a whole raft of departments then?
It is, yeah.
Cool. All right, well, look forward to details on that. So got to ask you a couple of questions. I mean, you're looking at some of the most advanced technologies in retail at the minute, but budget no barrier. Is there anything that you've seen out there that you go, do you know what? If we had that within Next, that would transform my X, Y, or Z.
Do you know what, Paul? It's such a contentious thing I'm going to say. But for me, I really do think that facial recognition is something that retail will benefit from greatly. Certainly for the external risk again. It's such a taboo subject. A lot of people putting a toe in the water, you know, steering away from it because there's a lot of negative PR around it. But I think for me, looking at what the future for loss prevention could look like in the future, I do think facial recognition will play a large part in mitigating a retail business's external losses going forward.
So you're of the opinion that at some point in some way, the technology will find, you know, a way to become acceptable to the wider public, and it will roll out.
Well, I think if you remember, Paul, when CCTV started to become popular amongst retailers, you know, there was a similar call by liberty groups to say, look, you're infringing our human rights, you're monitoring us. And yet, you know, outside of China, the UK is the most surveilled state on the planet. And the benefits outweigh, for me, this is just my personal view, I think the benefits outweigh the cons, really, the negatives. And I think facial recognition is at the beginning of that journey where we were 25 years ago when CCTV became, you know, the norm in our industry. So for me, I think facial recognition, the potential for it is huge. Yeah. But again, I do recognize that we need to make sure that all the checks and balances and all the controls are in place to make sure that, you know, it is used in the right way.
And I think your point about, you know, it's just time and people get used to it. I'm sure I recall when RFID was first trialed in, you know, particularly in the US, there was sort of fears that Walmart could drive down the street and somehow scan into your home and see what products you'd got in there. And I think, yeah, you still have to disable the RFID tags at the checkout in some states as well, because there was they did a terrible job, I think, of explaining what the technology did. And I remember when it was first trialed here in the UK, it was sort of the press picked up on the issues around. So, yeah, I mean, I'm with you. I think, you know, the benefits far outweigh the negatives. Again, that's my personal opinion on that. And, you know, and being able to walk into a store as a repeat customer, I love the fact, you know, certain stores, if you're in a changing room and you get the attention and they come in with different sizes and suggestions, well, if they even know, you know, your spending pattern, what you've bought in the past and your sizes or whatever, you know, then the opportunity for customer service, I think, goes through the roof. Then all of a sudden the high street offers something that online doesn't. And then you've got a clear choice. And then, do we not, many of us will, you know, go back to the high street because it's such a better experience?
Absolutely. I mean, Next has set its stall out. You know, we aren't going to disappear from the high street. You know, there is still people out there that want a great experience when they go shopping. And for us, you know, that's what our business is all about. It's about trying to provide a really good experience for our customers that make them want to come back. Not everybody's going to migrate online. You know, I don't know what the percentages are, but I certainly know from experience that my partner can't wait to get out shopping again, meet up with the friends in a coffee shop and have a catch up and do a bit of shopping. And I think culturally that will still remain. But how much of it, I don't know. But certainly Next sees the benefit of having bricks and mortar presence in the high streets and shopping centres and city centres.
Yeah, and I think, you know, it's a great, you know, challenge for retail to figure out what it looks like. You know, Next, great experience to the mass markets, coffee shops, Waterstones, other brands, you know, it just becomes compelling. And yeah, a lot, you know, not wishing to speak ill of the dead of some of the brands that have gone, but they were on a year-on-year decline, you know, not universally, but to a large part. So I think, you know, Next invested heavily in technology and, you know, click and collect way before others could offer that. And I use Next. I've never been into a Next store with a click and collect and been told actually the system was wrong, we don't have the stock. But I've had that experience in other retailers, and it's just, you know, one of the most disappointing things that can happen. So look, great excitement and good things coming for Next. Just give me your think about your personal experience and thoughts on what you see for the UK high street and retail in general. I mean, you alluded to a great future for it, but what do you see happening over the next 1, 3 to 5 years maybe? And just while you reflect on that, we're just going to take a brief 30-second word from our sponsor Sensormatic, and then we'll be back.
Now, more than ever, retailers and shopping centres need to create efficient and safe shopping destinations that can thrive in the most challenging of market conditions. Sensormatic Solutions uniquely combines insights into loss and liability, shopper insights and inventory visibility to help you power operational excellence and deliver frictionless, secure, personalised shopper experiences while driving revenue. Visit us at sensormatic.com to learn more.
So welcome back. Steve, I was just asking you to get your crystal ball out and maybe just get your thoughts from somebody at the coalface, as it were, on where you see high street retail over the next few years. And are you optimistic for it?
Well, I am a glasses always half full kind of guy. And I think the contraction and reduction of high streets over the last few years has certainly been accelerated by what's happened over the last 12 months. But I think, as I mentioned earlier, I do think that there are customers out there that do want an experience. And I think for retailers, it's trying to create that right experience for the customers for the high street. The high street, I don't think, will disappear in its entirety. I think it will still be attractive for people to go on there. But we have to make it attractive. We have to make it a destination place to go. And I think as long as the retailers that are still there tap into that and deliver some great customer service and some great experiences, I'm hopeful that we can stop that shrinking, that reduction. And I hope that then we can start to grow those high streets again, maybe in 3, 4, 5 years' time. But I am the ever optimist, and I do believe that the high streets will still continue to play a part within the retail business.
Yeah, I always like to speak to an optimistic. I'm a huge fan of the high street as well. So maybe we should quiz our guests ahead of time just to make sure they are an optimist to avoid any negativity.
Absolutely.
Steve, always an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for finding time to share your thoughts and insight with our audience here on the Retail Risk Podcast. And I shall very, very much look forward to meeting you again in person in the very, very near future. It will happen. Thank you, Steve.
Okay, thanks, Paul. Thank you.